This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Calling Grass Nation, we are conducting an audience survey at gum.fm/touchgrass. And we want to hear from you so that we can keep making content you love.
You know this. We know this. There are ads on our podcast. Mm-hmm. We want to improve that experience. But in order to do so, we need to know a little bit more about you, our audience. This survey is quick, easy, and a free way to support this podcast. It'll take 2 minutes and you'll be helping us out so much by doing it.
Yes, so go to gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our audience survey. That's gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our survey. Thank you for using your precious time online to help us with our podcast.
We love you.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart Family Cards. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or whether you should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart, and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
You've got mail.
Hi, I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is
Go Touch Grass,
the podcast where we log in.
So you can log off.
Millie and I are two chronically online comedians. And on this podcast, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you can go do literally anything else with your time.
Yes, anything else. And if you like what you hear today and want to hear more, we got a Go Touch Grass Patreon already up and running with all of our test episodes, mini trending topics, a weekly newsletter, and our spinoff series Search History. We go back and break down a viral discourse from the past.
Wow. And right now we've got audio from our live show up. Thank you to everyone who came out to our live show.
Our live show was a dream.
It was a dream, and we will be doing more.
We will
so
be doing more.
So watch this space.
Watch this space.
And always don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review. It's time to get into the episode, guys. We have an amazing guest. Such a treat for you today. She is the director of strategy for the Working Families Party, the founder of Real Housewives of Politics, and the co-founder of the Resistance Revival Chorus. It's Nalini Stan! Wow, reunited, and it feels so good.
I feel like you're the reason why Jax and Brittany were at the White House Correspondents Dinner.
Yeah, I do think that's because of us. I'll take that.
But okay, Alicia just listed 3 incredible organizations: the Working Families Party, the Real Housewives of Politics, and Resistance Revival Chorus. Can you please give our listeners your elevator pitch for all 3, so we can learn more about your work?
Oh yeah. I mean, that's going to be a lot, but I can do this. I can do this. So, Working Families Party, we are a pragmatic third party, meaning we don't like no spoilers, because the two-party system is not working in our favor. Mm-hmm. So, we elect candidates that are actually going to be about working families issues. Mm. You know, minimum wage raises.
Yeah.
Reproductive justice.
Love to hear
labor
it.
Labor unions, we love them.
Controversial. I mean... People should not get paid for their labor.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about
that. That's this kind of podcast.
Only Jeff Bezos, right?
Yeah.
And Real Housewives of Politics is a meme account / community of Real Housewives and Bravo fans that are just trying to talk about politics in a funny, sassy, weird way, because politics is, it's not funny, but it's sassy, it's weird.
And it's certainly sassy and weird.
Yeah, definitely sassy and weird, and we need a way to explain it to the masses, right? Yeah. And we throw live watch parties as well. We watch Housewives, we kiki about it.
You guys were at BravoCon.
We were.
I'm so sad. I mean, never wanted to go to BravoCon until I saw y'all had space, and I'm like,
yeah,
damn.
But you guys have the best events. Anytime I've gone, we're having fun. And the kikiing is good. The drinks are good.
The my favorite events are the costume contests. Like we haven't done it in a while, but we're gonna be gearing up to do a bunch.
Can I say, me and my husband have a locked in plan to be Lisa Vanderpump and Ken for Halloween this year. And I'm we're gonna get him a little dog. I'm gonna wear a big hat. He's gonna kind of just shuffle around.
Because you have a Lisa Barlow accent.
I do have a working Lisa. I do have a working Lisa Barlow.
Okay.
But I haven't heard of Lisa Vanderpump from you.
Yeah, I haven't. It's, you know, I feel like it's a standard British accent. Mm, she's a little posh.
It's a little like with the S's.
Yeah, I feel like she's kind of fake she's posh. Like, a real British person would be like, no, you're not.
Yeah, she definitely doesn't sound like, I'm obsessed with British dialect and how it tells your class, like politics. I've done a lot of political work in Britain many years ago. And
so you're responsible for Brexit too.
Oh yeah, no.
You are the orchestrator.
I came after that. I was like, can I try to help? But I think it doesn't sound like a real, like a proper
Yeah, it sounds like a cartoon
accent.
Of a fancy British
totally.
Lady.
I think she just like watched a lot of like, you know, like E4 dramas, like when she, you know, back in the day and was like, this is the accent that I'm choosing.
Wow.
Have you engaged with Vanderpump Villa? I have not.
I have not yet.
I have not engaged with Vanderpump Villa.
I also am like, this is an actual place. Like, I'm just so confused.
What's
about
the villa?
It's, she has a villa in the south of France.
That, yeah, and I guess you can stay there?
You can stay there.
So you can go to see like tacky decor in France too.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Just Tahoe.
It's
and,
worldwide. She's worldwide as Kit, like Candy Burris.
Candy Burris.
Lisa Vanderpump is worldwide.
We need a, what's her, Candy Burris's restaurant?
Old Lady Gang.
We need an Old Lady Gang in south of France.
Oh, yeah.
I need to see Southern Fried Chicken Wings. My favorite,
that would be great.
I mean, my favorite sub TikTok, this is an internet podcast, is seeing Popeyes open in, when Popeyes opened in Paris and when Popeyes opened in London, and the lines and the fervor and everything. That was exciting as an American.
Yeah.
That was exciting.
People were absolutely out of their mind for that. And it was amazing. it was amazing to watch all that.
This kind of leads into my question for you, which is, of the Housewives Bravo celebrities, who would you like to see as president? Who do you think could do the best?
That's a good one. President.
Job.
Oh man. I feel like I have like my real answer, like a realistic president of the United States, and then I have my like this would
Give
be
us
chaotic
both.
And
Give
and
us both. Space for both.
I feel like Meredith Marks would be a realistic, because she never really like tells you, like I don't ever know what she's actually thinking, which I don't know what any president is actually thinking.
That's so true.
She kind of, you know, she's just like, but she has this like,
I don't know,
really
Donald
important.
Trump, we know what he's thinking.
I get, but honestly, I still feel like there's levels of things I don't want to know, but there are levels.
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
What he does in those golden bathrooms
Marks,
and stuff.
Sorry,
so Meredith Marks, I feel like on the like, this is more realistic and she would fit in that world. In terms of like somebody who I think it would be actually Lisa Barlow.
Her to be
Wendy's
president?
For everyone.
Okay.
Like just saying like, oh my God, I love that. It's like, hello, baby gorgeous. Like imagine getting a presidential address and it's like, hello, baby gorgeouses of the country. Like
interesting.
I feel like a Meredith or a Lisa State of the Union would be in crazy,
you know.
And at this point, it's just it's all reality
to
television.
Keep it in
so
the...
I would love to see Kenya.
Oh, Kenya Moore.
Kenya Moore would be a great president. 100%. I mean, she'd be like, we'd have some wars, and like it'd be preempted by her.
Some.
We'd have a war for sure. But she would, we'd be on the defense. That's what I'm saying.
That's it.
And working families will get, single mothers will get the most legislation.
Oh, yeah. Single mothers would
get, but we would get, you know,
wars.
Talk about some pet, whatever. She'd be
wars.
Preemptive striking everyone who talks shit about her, which,
oh, yeah.
Not that off from what we've seen.
not what we're doing. So.
Like, if she couldn't be, like, imagine if she was just like, I want to be, like, the lead of, like, Miss Universe or something like that. And then she just starts wars with her country that is, like, absolutely not.
Well, I mean, again, wouldn't be the only president involved with you.
I know that's the thing, is I'm like, I mean, we've had a reality star president at this point, and we might have one again. No, I don't want to talk about it.
No.
So. It's not that crazy that we could get a Bravo Leb in the White House.
I think it's like complete. I mean, honestly, the person who probably would have the easiest pathway now is Ariana.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
she is so popular.
She is riding that wave.
She could
of
get
public
definitely
opinion.
Get a congresswoman.
Yeah, or like I think she could be in the secretary. Like if there was like,
Like, and the cabinet.
Yeah, cabinet position. Ariana's Secretary of Defense. She's like, I have been through.
I've been through hell. I know how to wage war.
And if you think I'm moving out of this White House, you've got another thing coming. Oh my God. I'm staying put. You move.
I mean, again, Donald Trump.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, everything goes back to Donald Trump. That we've thought Donald Trump has done it.
Yeah, like it's already, like we're joking, but it's like literally this happened 4 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't fucking move out. He didn't fill out any of the paperwork.
He took actually everything to Mar-a-Lago. Put it in a bathroom.
Put it in a bathroom.
I know.
Didn't circle back with any lawyers for many months. I mean.
And now he's on trial, like downtown.
Well. Yeah, I know, right?
Right
he's
now.
Like here. Millie and I have a company that we freelance for, and they sent out a thing that was like, we're looking for people that are New York based to write court transcripts for a financial trial that's happening in New York. I was like, do we think this is Trump?
Yeah, for 8 weeks.
Yeah, it was too, I couldn't take it on, but I was like, do we think this is Trump?
That was probably.
Probably.
Right? I'm like, I mean, why would they need, I've never
had to go every day. And guess what, guys? Court starts early.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Millie just had to do jury.
I'm not awake when court starts.
Court starts fucking early, okay? I'm not trying to do that. No. Every time I'm, because I listen to the Journal.
Yep.
And there was like all the Sam Bankman free trial stuff. And they're like,
I have so many stories.
We woke up at 4 a.m. to get to the court at 5. I'm like, couldn't be me. Yeah. Couldn't be me. I'm like, I'm glad I'm listening to the recap.
Right.
It kind of puts into perspective the Michael Jackson showing up to court in his pajamas.
Well,
that's not to put anything else about him into perspective. I'm just saying the pajamas.
The pajamas.
I'm like, well, what time was it?
I would wear pajamas to court if I had to be there.
Yeah, I'm
early.
Just like, listen.
But also, the person who takes that job has like an easy way, like ticket, or probably they have to do some law stuff, like to, or like a non-disclosure agreement. But that would just be like the best movie.
It would be the craziest 8 weeks of your life. Like it would be so insane. We know someone who was called for the Harvey Weinstein jury and they got kind of to the end. And then also Gigi Hadid was there because Gigi Hadid was called for that jury.
God,
and then they had to be like, does anyone know the defendant, Harvey Weinstein? And Gigi Hadid had to be like, yeah. And they were like, okay, you're dismissed.
Well,
because you're Gigi Hadid. Wow. And then someone we know was like, I have already decided what I think about this case. And they dismissed her too. And it's like, they were like, can you be objective? And she was like, no.
Can you be objective against 80 rapes?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. I don't know how that's possible.
I know.
I'm just like,
That's like the wildest with juries when they're like, we've selected the Trump jury. I'm like, who are they, I wonder?
I don't think I want to know.
I'm like,
I don't
gotta be
know.
Like the 8 weirdest people, 9 weirdest people in the world.
I mean, but easy to get in New York.
If there was a place
people don't know, like there's so many niches in this city, and if you go too deep in any niche, you're gonna meet anti-vaxxers who hate, like who's into all the conspiracies.
Yeah.
But so also don't know anything about modern politics.
Yeah, totally. So I believe they could find 8 out of 10 million people.
Yeah.
I can find.
This
I believe
is
they
place.
Could. This is the place.
This is
to find people who don't know what the. Fuck
and it's
is
not
going
like
on.
It's not like it's 20 years ago where like because like growing up in New York, like Donald Trump's name was everywhere, but they took it all off of the building. So it's not like there and where you just are like maybe it's that guy from the building. Like it really is just like
you really have to go to Columbus. Circle to see it now.
Yeah.
All right. So we're obviously going to get into politics with you, but before we do that, we have a mini discourse. The discourse is our segment where we talk about something other people are talking about online.
Mm-hmm.
And so for today's mini discourse, we are going to talk about a question that has been roiling TikTok for the past week. It's really popped off. Mm. But the question was first posed on April 10th. I believe the first person to pose it was the account at Screenshot HQ. It's hard to tell on TikTok, but this was the earliest version of it I could find. And it does have 14 million views, 2 million likes, and 65,500 comments. So I feel like this is the preeminent version of the question. And the question is, ladies, would you rather be stuck in a forest with a man or a bear?
Wow.
Easy.
Easy. Okay, yeah, let's get your answers.
Gay man or... I mean, you said forest, so it's implying no, but... But
yeah, what type of bear?
Yeah, what type of bear? Because it could be a gay bear.
Yeah, yes. Okay. Yes. No, the man is a straight man. The bear is a gay man.
The bear is a gay man. So obviously bear. Yeah. Easy.
Do you have an answer?
Oh, a bear.
Yeah, so.
Hands down. They do not eat, like, they don't.
They're
like
not
going to
bother you.
No, they don't like people. They're just like trying to eat their shit and take care of the kids.
So in the initial video of this, which was like a British creator in London asking only women, everyone but one said bear. My answer is, okay, so if it's assumed that both are going to attack me, then I do pick man because I, you know, I'm coming off a 30-day yoga challenge. I'm strong right now.
Yeah.
I could maybe fight a man.
At least did it.
I could maybe fight a man. I think if a bear wants to take me down, I'm going down.
Bears have long nails.
They can climb trees. I can't even climb a tree. That's a problem. But if it's just, I know that there's a bear wandering around in the woods, and I know that there's one lone man wandering around in the woods.
Yeah.
Absolutely bear. Because the bear is actually where it's supposed to be.
Hello. Yeah.
Minding its business, living its life.
Yeah.
The man, I can only think of a couple reasons why a lone man would be wandering around in the woods.
None of them are good.
None of them. No path. Yeah, like, I do not need to be.
Only good man that did something in the woods was, like, Emerson. Or was it Henry David Thoreau?
Yeah.
And that's because he just wrote a book. And...
Right.
I guess, okay, there is a small chance that the man is a poet.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm concerned.
But still dangerous.
Dangerous.
Yeah. A personal attack, and maybe we don't need to engage with that.
Yeah. So I guess, like, I have some caveats, but, like.
Mostly bear.
Just because I feel like you said, I don't know that the bear really even wants to deal with me.
Yeah.
You know, bears. Yeah, bears don't like people. Bears love hot tubs and pools and swings. I love those fucking videos.
Right. Yeah.
And those are, you know, amazing. What I mean? And they're not trying to eat anybody. They're trying to go in the hot tub. The mom brings their babies, the cubs.
Yeah.
And they're all in the hot. They're not trying to eat people. They're trying to have a good time. And with that, I can relate to.
Bears are always trying to have a good time. They're just like, I'm out here. But the thing is, though, is that I still would rather a bear take me out than a man.
Oh, yeah.
Because men think of just weird things
to do.
That's
so true.
Like, and I didn't do no 30-day yoga challenge. So I am just like, I'd be just stoned and being like, But yeah, I think I would take the bear, too.
Yeah,
it'd be easy.
True.
It'd be
bear...
swift.
No one would deny that, like, you know, it's like, oh, Millie got attacked by a bear. It's like, okay, fuck.
Yeah.
If Millie got attacked by a man, okay, what did she do?
It
was her fault.
Nobody victim blames you for being attacked by a bear.
Nope.
Well, maybe. I don't know. Take it out.
There's a whole documentary by Werner Herzog called Grizzly Bear.
You know what?
That is basically victim blaming.
And here's the thing. As we've seen, so this question has sparked a fierce debate on TikTok. So number one, like, women are just sharing their joke answers. There's kind of like a Roman Empire-esque version of the video of women filming their husbands and asking if they would rather have their daughter be in the woods with a man or a bear, and then filming him usually being like, well, what do we know about the bear? Who's the man? Very logically trying to answer these questions. Then there are stitches by men who are pissed, and they're like, These women who say that they would rather the bear, like, be so fucking for real, blah, 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 like, getting mad about it. I did see one stitch by a guy who was like, actually, my mom was killed by a bear. She was mauled by a bear, but she survived. Ooh. And he says in the video, basically, like, if you're saying man, or if you're saying bear, you should check your privilege of having not been mauled. Like, you don't know anyone who's been mauled by a bear.
Okay.
Like, my mom was mauled by a bear, and she wrote a book about it, and the bear tried to eat her face. And I'm like, okay.
Okay,
you're bringing a lot of personal information to this.
Cool. Yeah.
Wow.
Amazing.
Privilege?
Like, I know. Yeah.
We're bringing that into this?
I know. I was like, I think that we've lost the plot on what check your privilege means in this scenario.
100%.
But, yeah, that is interesting firsthand knowledge. I mean, I'm sure it was horrible to be mauled by a bear.
But it's also like, you know, how most people live in the summer. Like, this isn't going to happen. It was just like
this is a hypothetical.
Yeah.
This is just like this guy. There used to be like Facebook quizzes and shit.
Oh, yeah.
And when I was like probably like 6 or 7 years out of high school, this guy that I kind of knew in the peripheral, we were Facebook friends. There's all these Facebook quizzes of like, would you go on a date with this person? Would you go? And then there was this question like, and it would randomly generate your like friends or whatever. And there was one question that was like, would you slap Millie Tamaris like in a tag, like in the face for $1 million? And he goes, and he writes back, LOL, yes, and like tags me. And I'm like, why would you answer this? This isn't gonna happen, you broke ass. Like, why are you getting so like?
Right.
Like, Facebook, why are you getting really old into Facebook? It? I mean, so Facebook chaotic. Is always messy, but like old Facebook used to like purposefully inject mess. I mean, just the it's complicated.
Facebook now is still crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like it's user generated mess. Whereas Facebook before would be like, you can list your relationship as it's complicated if you want. Do you want to rate how hot everyone is? We've got an app for that. Yeah, do you want to like say if you would slap this person? Like we have a game for, like we have a plugin for that. Like now it's just like the I think they've realized like, oh, the users
are chaotic enough.
The
users are making crazy. Yeah, they're crazy enough. We don't need to actually interject.
We don't need to do anything, and we can literally change elections on this on this social media.
Lord help us.
Audible's best of 2024 picks are here. Discover the year's top audiobooks, podcasts, and originals in all your favorite genres, from memoirs and sci-fi to mysteries and thrillers. Audible's curated list in every category is the best way to hear 2024's best in audio entertainment. Like a stunning new full cast production of George Orwell's 1984. Heartfelt memoirs like Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson's Lovely One. The year's best fiction like The Women by Kristen Hannah. And Percival Everett's brilliantly subversive James. Audible. There's more to imagine when you listen. Go to audible.com/imagine and discover all the year's best waiting for you.
You know that feeling when your favorite brand really gets you? Deliver that feeling to your customers every time. Memorable moments like these are key to building your business and your brand. Klaviyo turns your customer data into real-time connections across AI-powered email, SMS, and more, making every moment count, so you can continue to build smarter, more meaningful relationships with your customers. Build smarter digital relationships with your customers and make every moment count with Klaviyo. Learn more at klaviyo.com/BFCM.
You know what? And speaking of, that does bring us to Polititiktok. We're going to have a longer Polititiktok today. Polititiktok is our segment where we talk about the intersection of politics and social media, and of course, because we have you today, we're gonna spend a little more time here than we normally do. I've got two different stories, specifically starting with the TikTok ban. You guys, it's signed. Delete. Burst into laughter.
Sorry, it's so
girl.
Ridiculous.
We didn't make any jokes yet.
I know. Hold on. It is a joke. The whole thing is a joke.
So we talked a little bit about this, I think, on the Claire Parker episode when the House passed the TikTok ban. But last Wednesday, so 1 week from when this episode will be released, President Biden signed into law a bill that could potentially ban TikTok. It has within it the capabilities to ban TikTok. What it actually is a defense bill that gave $95 billion to Ukraine and Israel. So it's an interesting layout of priorities.
Interesting.
That we're seeing with that. The Senate voted 79-19 to approve it, which is, I feel like we never see those numbers.
No.
Yeah.
Bipartisan.
But literally the most bipartisan thing I've seen, and it's like, cool, this is what we can get agreement on.
Well, I've heard, you know, to be the devil's advocate. No, but like, I've heard that the word ban is not a great kind of descriptor of what it is.
True.
It's supposed to be TikTok regulation. And basically what's happening is that, you know, China has this direct line in the way that like China like very seriously like kind of censors their media and doesn't let a lot of Western things into their like atmosphere and stuff like that. They have this direct line to a huge kind of big portion of the U.S. population. And so it's kind of like, well, we need to make sure that the people who are in charge of this messaging have the best intentions for the United States. So that's like, that's kind of the rationale. I think ban is a bad word. And then the other argument is that the same thing happened with Rupert Murdoch, because basically it's like, if they don't sell it to an American, mm-hmm. then, you know, then they can, then it will get banned. And like, the same thing happened with Rupert Murdoch when he was like buying Fox or something. And like, Rupert Murdoch had to rescind his citizenship of Australia before he could.
I didn't realize he had to.
Oh, he's Australian. Oh, he's
like, no, I knew he was Australian. I didn't know that he had to denounce
Australia in order to own this huge American company that was going to influence a bunch of people. So that's the only point I will make before we hear Mimi.
I mean, oh God. Yeah. I mean, it's, I think it's right. It's not, it's, we can't call it a ban, but it's just,
but they called it a ban. So.
Right, right. I think it's just, but here my thing is like, it is absolutely ridiculous, because when we think about the American grown companies that work with governments, Amazon actually has the data servers of multiple governments in the world. Facebook, Cambridge Analytica, Brexit, right? Like, so it's just like, to me, all of these things, yes, is there a problem with the internet? Absolutely. Like, there is a fundamental problem, but it isn't the, it's not inherently the apps themselves. It is what you do with people's data and information. And so to me, if you're gonna do that, like, first of all, start with the homegrown companies. And they've done some things, like net neutrality, right? Like, there are things that, and the administration has been, this administration has been better, but like, the reality is, it's just like, it's like you're starting, it's like when you're trying to fix a relationship and you actually probably should get out of it. Yeah. They're just like trying these like little patchy things to fix it instead of actually restructure how we, like, we are dealing with governments and social media and like internet companies. Like, that's the fundamental relationship that needs to switch.
So that's basically where, okay, so just to be like, full for our audience, the bill gives TikTok's Chinese parent company ByteDance 1 year to sell to a buyer deemed fit by U.S. officials. So like you said, they have to sell to someone in the United States, basically. Supporters of the ban, they say what they've kind of always said, that they're worried about the Chinese government's influence over the ban or over the app, that China could use it to spread misinformation, disinformation. They actually pointed to the fact that the app, like, prompted people to call Congress about the ban. And they pointed to that and they were like, well, what if we had a vote about, like, sovereignty in Taiwan or the South China Sea? Like, could the app prompt people there? So they, like, kind of used that in their argument, which was interesting. But opponents of the ban say basically what you said, that, well, number one, that it's a violation of free speech rights, and that singling out TikTok doesn't solve the broader issues of misinformation and disinformation and manipulation on social media, and that lawmakers would be better off passing like a comprehensive digital privacy package that covered all of the social media apps and all of the places that store our data, instead of just going after TikTok specifically, which I think is ultimately how I feel. And then also just watching, for me, the main feeling watching this is I'm like, there's so much going on. We can't get anything fucking passed.
Nothing.
Everything that is attempted is stopped, held up by this, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Like, student loan forgiveness, sorry, you can't actually do it. The filibuster is going to stop this, blah, blah,
minimum
blah.
Wage.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like literally what happened.
And then it's like, but we can do this? 79-19, no problem. It flies through. I do think TikTok CEO already said that, like, they're going to fight it in court. So I think this is probably going to get tied up in court for a long time. Yeah. But it just, to me, feels so through the looking glass of, like, so you guys can pass a law. It's just about something nobody is thinking about but you.
And also, we have to also understand this, like, there's a huge factor of it being China.
Yes.
There has been anti-Chinese sentiment, like, the state of China sentiment. I mean, from in history, but I'm not going to even go all the way back there. But really, even since COVID, right? Like you have, there's this, oh, it was the China disease and all these things. And you literally had a proxy, like both Trump and Biden in 2020 saying the same things about China. And so this is not in a vacuum of TikTok.
Yeah.
This is also about how the American imperialism, I hate saying that word, but like, you know, but just how that works and how when America is at these proxy wars with these countries that aren't with nukes and, you know, that we actually like it's these economic wars, it's these trade deals, it's all that stuff. And so this is what's happening under that umbrella, too. And we have to also recognize that it's not just like because it's TikTok. It's also like if it was in Australia, I don't know if we would be having same conversation, you know.
And I feel like that's what's gotten the bipartisanship of this is that there are people, and we talk about it all the time, of like, every time there is a hearing about Facebook or Twitter or whatever, fucking half of the questions are like, I got shadow banned, or what's my password? Mm-hmm. You know, no one's having, like, it's very rare. Like, the actual people who are having legitimate concerns about privacy, which we should be having about every single thing.
Yep.
So it's like, that's what's mixed in with this thing, is like, there are people who have legitimate concerns of like, I don't like that China, which, you know, there is some legitimacy to like the TikTok that they have in China and the TikTok that they have. And also, many say TikTok isn't even allowed in China.
Yeah.
That's not even allowed to be in the thing because they can't monitor it.
Yeah.
And if they do, like, you know, with children, you can only get an hour of the you know what I mean? They get the broccoli TikTok, you know, which is like an hour of like unregulated FYP. And then the rest is like science and education videos. And we get like the sugary, like addictive heroin TikTok.
Yeah, that's, we get super, the
crack. Yeah,
it's a pure thing. Yeah. So there are some politicians who have that. And then a lot of politicians who are just frankly racist, imperialist, 100%. America first, all this bullshit.
Yep.
And like that is what's gotten bipartisanship.
Yeah. Exactly.
And well, also people on both sides who are like,
well, it's just like there were all those viral clips from the last TikTok hearing where that guy's just like doesn't understand that the man is from Singapore that he's talking
right.
to. He doesn't know what Singapore is. Like, he's literally so it's like someone needs to take him and be like, actually, we're gonna take a couple minutes with the senator to just kind of go over a map with him and like show him.
Yeah.
Just show him some basic documents about what the world is, how it's made up and stuff. But it's very interesting, and I do feel like, you know, it is interesting to see this, given what you were talking about like anti-China sentiment, that it's rolled up in this bill where we're giving aid to Ukraine, which is partially like a proxy situation with Russia, we're giving money to Israel,
which is another
basically
Iran is, you know,
it's about both of those are proxy war type situations that we're dealing with. And another thing that's been brought up is, so there's a video of Republican Senator Pete Ricketts of Nebraska speaking on the ban, where he very specifically is like, pro-Palestine information is spreading on TikTok. And he also says like pro-Hamas hashtags are being used on TikTok, and like points to that as a reason why it needs to be banned and regulated. And I think when we're talking about on the backdrop of all these campus protests that are happening, there is like kind of a sinister anti-speech element to it. Because, it is a Chinese app, but it is also an app where young people are spreading information 100%. And getting news in a way that is not filtered through like the normal quote unquote channels of media. And I think that does scare people in office.
Well, the American owned ones like Facebook. Fucking Instagram has suppressed all political, like, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
All political content.
You have to opt into political content on Instagram.
You have to opt into political content on Instagram.
So
and
ridiculous.
You have to, and Facebook pushes up conservative content.
Yeah.
It pushes conservative content. And then so it's like, and Twitter,
destroyed.
Twitter is, you know, what it is. So it's like, of course that it's spreading pro ballot. Like that's the only one that doesn't have like a strong right leaning 100%.
That's the thing, is just like, that's the thing that's concerning about this, but also on the state of affairs of, like, when you think about journalism, what's happening to journalism, which is like completely dying, and you think about with like no support, where like the government used to be able to support like independent journalism and all of these things. But you, when I was coming up, and when I was a, young one, you know, Twitter was the place where I did get information.
Yeah.
And, like, that's how we spread Occupy Wall Street. Like, we used Twitter. We used it as a – that was the first hashtag I ever used, was Occupy Wall Street.
Wow.
And, like, signed up for, like, Twitter while I was, like, text to tweet. I called it twit. Like, I didn't even know what it was. I was like, a twit? What? Like, they were like, send a tweet. I was like –
and you're like, how can I find the Twitters?
It's like, where is this thing? What is the bird app? Like, you know? And so that's how I found out about it. And like, we, so many of the movements that we, that kind of brought into modern day, like, you know, activism, I'll say, or just like a more distributed, came from Twitter, came from some of the Facebook stuff. And then they started to regulate, even though they also took the best parts of our movements. Like, we were live streaming everything from Tahrir Square to the like occupation in Wisconsin to Occupy Wall Street. And then every app has live stream. Like, you know, like they actually take things that they learn from movements and then they suppress the movements because they don't want movements to continue.
Yeah.
And so it's just like bizarre because movements helped all these platforms, like in some whatever movement, right? It could be lots of different. I mean, TikTok has like 1,000 different movements, like on it, even then, as you wrote, Tradwives, which is just scary. But like, you know, very, very scary. And so at the end of the day, like, it, they are both, they're benefiting off of when lots of users are interacting with this, regardless of how they're interacting. And then they suppress that very thing that made them popular and steal the things that come up that are innovated in those places. And it's just, it's really sad to see.
Yeah, that's what's so interesting to me is like, people, you know, watching these people get up and be like, they could use TikTok to influence an election. And I'm like, that literally already happened on an app that was here. And like, Russia just bought fucking ads. Like, China could just buy ads. I mean, but it's it's kind of what you said is like, Facebook allowed all of that to happen. And then now they're like, actually, we don't do political content now. And it's like, okay, great. After you put in power a psychopath. Yeah.
And all of these Facebook groups that that emerged, since a lot of the Facebook groups that are, were right-wing emerged from the Tea Party movement.
Yeah.
And they're still there. And now they're just even more right, which is crazy to say from what they were screaming about death panels, of, you know, for like, you know, healthcare for everyone. Like, it was crazy. And so you just see all of this stuff. And every, you know, I mean, there's a great documentary that came out on Netflix, The Antisocial Network, that's it's like, that traces like all of these right wing movements start online with 4chan, 8chan, right? Like, all of these things. And it led to QAnon, it led to disinformation. And they're doing nothing to stop that.
No.
Yeah.
Nothing to actually be like, oh, this is what you need to stop misinformation. This is what you need that. No, they're just gonna put in these like weird bans for one app.
Yeah.
And but, then and call it
over
a
day. More like left, it's a left-wing movement that they're seeing, that they're like, oh, now this is a problem. We can't have this information spreading.
And it's when, like, most of the terrorists are right.
It's like, you guys so don't ridiculous. Care about the spread of like the fucking like manosphere stuff, which Millie talked about in our live show. Like
red pill
content. None of that matters.
No.
But like pro-Palestine, which they categorize as pro-Hamas content, is the thing that's going to make you ban the entire app, which is, and like student organizers are the thing that is going to make you ban the entire app, and not like multiple mass shooters who have been radicalized online.
Put manifestos out.
Yeah.
Like, they actually use the space. And, like, the craziest thing is that, because they all use, you all probably remember this, but they all used when a bunch of people started reading Osama bin Laden's letter to the, like, totally out of context. And I always am like, Reagan had him in the White House. Like, we're just going to forget about that.
Yeah.
So, A, that. And B, like, the thing is, like, everybody will share that as, like, oh, look at how the internet is, like terrible. But they won't share, like, all of the Aryan nation, the stuff, where it's like, oh, you must have this fair of fair skin and blue eyes, like, straight up Aryan stuff. Like, and, like, none of that's being banned. None of that is banned. None of that is talked about at the same level as the Osama, like, everybody reading this Osama thing that was actually propelled because people started talking about some people reading it, right? Like, they don't, but we're not talking about any of the things that are saying, like, oh, white lives matter and white people need to be saved and we're being attacked.
I do want to say that one of the most disturbing manifestos I read from this kid that they caught, who was about to be a, like, do a school shooting, he was like, I'm going to do this terrible thing, and the only thing that can cure me is the love of a Japanese woman.
Oh my God. Wait, no, really?
Yes. Oh my God.
And I'm just like, we need to stop white nationalism.
Yeah, like this is getting crazy.
Wow.
But truly, how many times have, like, you know, one of these horrible events happened and it's like, so it turns out he tweeted that he was going to do it over 200 times.
Yeah, exactly. Like, or he's visiting these sites and it's always the same sites and all this shit. And he was fed this and this and that. And like, there was no money to get him interventions from this and that.
We do.
Or he got a mental health problem. That's what happens. It's a mental. Yeah. It's only a mental health problem that because they actually don't want to talk about the real like problems. But, and yes, some of it is mental health, but it's like not the way that they talk
about
it.
Yeah, but it's that also that people who are having mental health problems have unfettered access to guns.
To terrible. Or,
and to get a gun, you can just go to a fucking Walmart.
Yep.
And to get a therapist, you have to go on psychology.com and fill out 18 fucking, like,
and they're not accepting new patients. And, like,
this thing. And then maybe this time, and then, payment plan and copay.
Yeah.
And to get a gun.
Sometimes they don't take your insurance, and then you have to pay $275 a session.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's like you're trying to get diagnosed with ADHD, and they're like, okay, you have ADHD, fill out 100 forms.
Yeah. Exactly what an ADHD person has to do. Yeah.
No. Okay. So we've solved that problem.
Yeah.
Solved it. To Joe Biden, you're listening. Yeah. I do want to talk about another topic that has been trending on X. Trending on X.
That's terrible.
Absolutely terrible. And this is because we differentiate between when something fun is happening on it, it's Twitter, and when something negative and cursed is happening on it, it's X. This is X.
Yes.
So hashtag puppy killer was trending on X this week because Republican Governor Kristi Noem of South Dakota, who is widely considered to be the front runner for Trump's VP. Sorry, Carrie Lake.
People say,
I can't unsee it.
People say that she's actually black and she's hiding and passing.
What I will say is that Trump finds her annoying and that's why he won't.
I know. Petty, this is reality television.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Anything that we think a highest wife would do, Trump is done.
Yes. Like, literally, it started coming out that he's like, she wants it too bad. Like, it's like she has been out here doing
the work,
work and he won't, whatever.
But let's talk about who he does like is
Kristi Noem of South Dakota, who is going viral because she wrote in her upcoming book, Not Going Back, which is very funny because she wants to go back to like 1832 or whatever, but that she shot and killed her 14-month-old hunting dog, Cricket, for having an aggressive personality and being untrainable. She also like says, I hated this dog.
Yeah.
In it, which the first thing that I thought immediately was like, there are a million polycules in Brooklyn right now that would love nothing more than to adopt your aggressive, untrainable rescue. Like, there's no reason to kill
named
this dog.
Cricket.
Yeah.
That's like, named Cricket. Like, this isn't perfect.
I feel like I've seen so many crickets at the Herbert Von King dog park with people being like, he's not friendly. He's not friendly.
I'm bringing him to the park, but he's not friendly.
He's off leash in the park. He's not friendly. So I'm just like, Cricket did not have to die.
Off leash, unfriendly dogs. I'm just like, what?
Well,
she also says in the book that she killed a nasty and mean male goat that she described as disgusting and rancid. Okay. Which again, there are people in Brooklyn who would adopt your rancid goat.
Oh, like, 100%.
There's no reason. And so the quotes went viral, obviously, because they're insane.
Yeah.
And she said she killed a dog. I don't understand why now multiple times in my life a Republican, like, presidential candidate is accused of killing a dog. Like, Mitt Romney put his dog on the top of the car.
Yeah, and then Mike Huckabee's son killed a dog. Right. Yeah, his son.
What? Like, I don't understand.
Dick Cheney shot someone in the face.
Yeah.
I genuinely don't understand why so many Republicans are killing dogs.
Why are they killing dogs? Okay, because like usually when somebody wants to be VP, like the move is to publish a book about their life. Like that is the move. But it's like, why would you talk about it? But we need the contingent, the like
independent white woman voter.
Yeah.
Perk up. Listen. Lean in. These people kill dogs.
Yeah, I know.
Do not vote for them.
I know. I'm like,
hello, dog lovers.
If you want to lose a lot of white ladies, be mean to a dog.
Girl, exactly.
I know. I was like, please let this quote continue. Every time I saw somebody like posting about it, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, get it out there.
Let it fester.
Get it out there. She's very Sarah Palin, though. Like, she's just reminding me of Sarah Palin.
Yeah, like,
interesting.
Yeah, she has
Sarah Palin
energy.
Also killed wolves. Aerial wolf hunting.
Yes.
From the fucking helicopter.
Yeah, it's Noam crazy. Has like a history of like, yeah, she posts pictures of herself doing like trophy hunting stuff where she's like killed a big elk and all of that. She hasn't, as far as I can tell, gone full like Trump kids where they like go and kill like a rhinoceros or whatever, but I'm sure, I mean, she's killed a lot of animals. In a post on Facebook, she tried to basically spin the shooting as an act of leadership. So she says, whether running the ranch or in politics, I've never passed on my responsibilities to anyone else to handle.
Oh my.
Even if it's hard and painful, I followed the law and was being a responsible parent, dog owner, and neighbor. As I explained in the book, it wasn't easy, but often the easy way is not the right way.
So, I mean,
that's some spin.
That's some spin. Getting vertigo from that. And also,
I was like, I need to
lay down. I know, I'm like, not just want to spin on that.
We need to lay spin, down. But also, I mean, we haven't seen spin like that in a while. See, yeah, this is the thing. This is the thing is that Biden and Biden's administration, like, for all their faults, like, this is the kind of shit they haven't been doing, and it's been a little boring, and we're having to dig deep and actually get into the policy.
Yeah.
But with the Trump presidency, it's all these cuckoo bananas people who are doing so much fucking spinning and crazy shit that, like, yes, this is what's going to be popping off. And another thing, I'm also, like, in the cynical part of me, but I'm like, this woman's letting us know that if Trump acts wrong, she'll shoot him in the face. She's gonna shoot him in the head.
Oh my god.
just like cricket. I don't know.
She's saying that like about her cabinet members. Like, I feel like I'm not, I just like, I think that there's gonna be like a handful of people, political operatives, that are like, oh
yeah,
do not fuck with her. Like,
so I think like part of it is that she's trying to be like, you guys are just big city folks who don't understand what it's like to be on a farm, and like on a farm, sometimes you have to like shoot your animals. And I'm like, I think that was true a long time ago.
Yeah.
Now there are a lot of places that will take your, if your dog doesn't work as a farm working dog, that's fine. I promise you there are Googleable options that don't involve taking it to a gravel pit and shooting it, which is what she did. Also, then in a post on X, she doubled down again saying,
oh, wow.
We love animals, but tough decisions like this happen all the time on a farm. Sadly, we just had to put down 3 horses.
Oh, no.
A few weeks ago that had been in our family for 25 years. So she goes, oh, you're mad about the dog and the goat? I just killed 3 horses.
Yeah, talk to Mr.
Oh,
Ed,
my God.
Bitch.
I'm like, and people are responding going like, weird flex, like, what? Like, she's like, yeah, I've killed horses. This woman's kill list for animals is growing by the day.
Well,
I mean, I feel like her thing to like war, like, this is the one thing, like, warhawks love her now. Like, when I think about all of these companies, they're like, yeah, she's gonna explain killing masses of people in a really, really like sane way or something like that.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's like that like Lockheed and Martin is probably like, we want her.
Yeah, I mean,
we want
absolutely
her. Lockheed and Martin is just like, yes.
Yeah.
Explain killing so softly. But I don't understand. Like, I understand her whole thing, but she's going, like, you know, obviously in political stuff, we have this, like, what's your stump speech? What's your thing? And it sounds like she's going with the, I have to make hard choices.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder what else in her life she's going to, like, talk about. Like, is this going to be like, you know, I had to, like, send one of my kids away or something like that? Like, I just don't know.
Like, well, the fact of the matter is, usually when people do this vice president thing,
oh, yeah,
And write their book.
This vice president.
Or
thing.
No, when they write their book, they
thing
can look back on shit
in their political career.
Yeah.
But the thing is, South Dakota has 5,000 people, and there's not much to fucking talk about.
And like a couple dogs, and Kristi Noem's taking those out.
Taking them out.
Yeah, she's taking them out.
And the thing is that these people always talk about tough decisions, and she's trying to spin this as tough decisions, and I'm going to spin it back right and reverse Uno on, like, okay, but you call people who get abortions murderers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you shot a, you looked at a dog in the eye and
a dog you named Cricket.
And a dog you named Cricket. And all that shit that was out. And we're talking about a clump of cells, and you want to call people murderers.
Yeah.
And this is like, this is what I'm saying. Like, complete, like, it's not even hypocrisy. It's like some other crazy shit where you're like, what are you doing? I don't know. So that's kind of my thing.
They want
no
rationale.
Yeah.
They want no rationale. They're just like, this is our belief system, and you got to believe it.
Yeah.
Or we'll force you to believe it.
You'll be wrong.
To me, also, it's interesting for her to be like, It was a really hard decision, but it had to be done. But also in the book, she's like, this rancid goat, I couldn't wait to shoot it. Like,
I mean, one thing if it's like, if
I hated the dog. She says, I hated the dog.
I know. Like, I mean, also, like, people in South Dakota don't be eating goats. She's not Caribbean.
No, exactly.
She's not, like, doing anything good with the goat.
I was like, did you become Puerto Rican overnight? Like, I was like, we eat goats.
Okay, guys, like, killing a goat. Yes. Like, not the craziest thing. And it's totally kind of delicious, but you know she's not delicious. Seasoning it with curry or cilantro.
You know she's not seasoning anything.
She's not eating it. She's literally getting dino nuggets from Costco and killing goats.
Dino nuggets.
You know she's getting dino nuggets.
Yes.
You know there's no kids in her house, and she's getting dino nuggets.
Drinking unpasteurized milk. People are doing that online now, too, and I'm really scared about that.
That's really, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, so I guess it's like a self-selecting group. I'm like, well, you can drink unpasteurized milk.
Have fun
and
with
see what how that works for you.
I just love earlier when we were talking about like scary movements online, and Nalini's like, yeah, like the trad wives. Okay, someone hates Cocoa Puffs from Scratch.
Oh, yeah. I hate all of it.
Well, they are drinking unpasteurized milk.
They really are. And it's really annoying.
Yeah, and they're like, they'll like be pregnant drinking unpasteurized milk. And it's like, oh, no. Oh, no.
You know?
I can't. I know. There are so many things where I'm like, I just need you to do a brief Google about why we came up with pasteurization.
Yeah.
No, we're going to go in. I mean, that's kind of what's happening with X, Twitter, is that, which is kind of like, it is emblematic of like, there's all this shit that exists for a reason. And Twitter was run by us for a certain way for a reason. And you have somebody who doesn't know shit who comes in and it's like, this is all bullshit, and it's taking it apart like Elon is doing with Twitter.
Yeah.
And then going back little by little and reinstating all the things that he took down.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you're going to have to learn why we do pasteurized milk, why we vaccinate kids, why we
just going to learn the hard way.
You're going to have to learn the hard way, I guess.
It's unfortunate that we live in a world with access to all information, but people are like, no, I'm going to learn the hard way.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the IRL test.
That was when, like, I grew up in Carroll Gardens, and there was, like, a polio outbreak, like, 10 years ago. Jesus. Because people were, at my elementary school that I went to elementary school, there was, like, a polio outbreak because people were like, no, I'm not going to vaccinate kids.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other
thing. Then you learned it the hard way, unfortunately.
Speaking of learning things the hard
way. Oh, wow.
I'm
excited.
Perfectly into our grass hole of the week. So grass hole of the week is our segment. It's our final segment of the show where we choose a person or a group of people who need to touch grass the most, who need to get offline, who need to go explore the world, sometimes lovingly, sometimes not lovingly. Mm-hmm. And today, I think I'm going to call like an entire profession a grass hole.
Wow.
I think so. Wow. So
A field.
A field.
A field of grass holes.
A field of grass holes. So before I declare the grass hole, I want to give some cultural context.
Please.
Okay.
To people.
Okay.
So for a long time, licensing programs, especially when it comes to beauty, were pretty like archaic and focused on a white clientele. So if you're a woman of color or a black woman who wanted to be a licensed beautician or hairstylist, you'd have to spend anywhere from 6 months to 2 years in a beauty school learning techniques that mostly serve a white client base. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Since then, there have been a lot of supplemental training programs that are like 2-day courses or 1-week courses or whatever, like a multi-day special class that like focus on a specialty, you know, so like you could do for braiding or something, things that weren't covered in your standard beauty class, you know. So yeah, if you're in a regular beauty school, you learn how to perm straight hair into curly hair, but if you have a mostly black clientele, you're gonna get a braiding certificate, right? So this is kind of a common practice. And that has now that spread to nails, which again, if you want to get to be a licensed like nail artist or nail person, you'd probably go to school, learn how to do like manicures, pedicures and all that stuff. But if you want to learn like the special art and like acrylic nails and stuff, you probably have to take a multi-day course. Same with lashes. You can see lash techs. Instead of going to a whole esthetician who's focused on facials, you would go to a lash technician, somebody who focuses on, and they could be licensed, they could not be licensed, but their whole thing is just lashes. So you usually book these techs on Instagram. Do you guys have a guess where this is going?
I have like two guesses.
So I'm
like,
literally I'm in the woods with a bear. Just like, no.
I have two guesses. I've been following a lot of.
So then you already know where we're going. Well, this week's grasshole.
Okay.
Is to veneer technicians.
Oh my goodness. Oh.
And the group of people defending them.
Oh no.
Veneers are thin
plot
twist. Veneers are thin coverings that are placed over the front part of your tooth that look like natural teeth. Veneers can be used to correct a wide range of dental issues, including stained, chipped, crooked, or damaged teeth. And they can help even conceal uneven spaces between teeth. A lot of times these are placed over your existing teeth. Yeah. A lot of times your existing teeth are shaved down to accommodate
the veneers. Yeah, so you get the little creepy pointy teeth.
You get to go over.
You know whose veneers veneer harder than anyone in the world? Joe Biden. Our own president Joe Biden has the premier veneers.
Yeah.
he has the teeth of like a 22-year-old.
Yeah, like, his shine from like a mile away. Yes, right.
Strong teeth.
A lot of reality stars have them. A lot of people 100%. Have them. A set of porcelain veneers range anywhere between $10,000 to $30,000 for a full mouth. That's like the standard prices. But this week, there has been a number of Instagram accounts brought to the surface that are providing these services. And here, like this one in a caption. So this is from user. I'm just going to flash the picture real quick. And this is from user The Lucky Seven. He's a certified veneer tech. Come get a 7-figure smile from the kid at 7-figure smiles for bookings. So the standard, right, for veneers is about $10,000 to $30,000, but there are veneer technicians who charge anywhere from $5,000 to $1,500 for the procedure. And the veneer tech saga is taking social media by storm because you're getting other veneer techs to go on platforms and say, like, I can train you in veneer technology and you can make up to $5,000 a week by offering these dental services. So one particular influencer has gone viral after receiving a certificate of completion from his veneer technician class. Unfortunately, his celebrations have been short-lived because dental professionals are calling him a fraud. And it seems like people who are veneer techs are getting a lot of their supplies for these procedures off of Temu.
Not a Temu dentist.
So what dentists are saying is you are fucking with people's mouth. You are taking things you can be covering up oral cancer, cavities, all this shit, and you're just putting stuff over it. Not doing it properly. And yeah, I was just going to say, the people who need to touch grass are the ones that are saying veneer techs are not illegal because the Board of Dentistry hasn't put out a statement against it yet.
Oh my God.
But the law says that those positions don't exist because they legally do not exist. And the Board of Dentistry is there to, you know, acknowledge and enforce orthodontists, dental assistants, dental hygienists. So people are saying like, well, it's not illegal because there's nothing in the dentistry website that says you can't.
And it's yeah, like, they're doing the Airbud. They're like, there's nothing in the playbook that says you can't be a vineyard exactly. tech from Timu. So.
Oh my God, Timu.
So,
I'm still shook.
I know. I'm like, I just, the like, to have someone shaving your teeth into little teeth and they have like a Sheen shaver, I'm scared by that.
Sheen by Sheree.
Sheree
is about to make a veneer teeth.
Well, so aside of warning people of the risk they run from either posing as a veneer technician or receiving cosmetic pressure, it's shedding light on, we gotta tie it back to what's really going on in this country, dental affordability for the average American. Mm. The veneer technician, mm-hmm. you know, some people are saying Amen. Like veneer techs, like it has layers, like dental care is extremely unaffordable, uh-huh. and the way that people make fun of teeth is insane. And, you know, some people say, like, yeah, it's easier just to pay someone $1,500 to have this thing addressed than to go, you know, for an expensive dental thing. And in 2019, a reported 68.5 million Americans lacked dental insurance. According to the CareQuest Institute for Health, families with lower incomes reported cost as a reason for not going to the dentist regularly compared to families with higher incomes. So it's a real problem. I understand the thing that veneer techs are trying to solve, but guys, they're certifications from Canva. It's not a real thing. It's not a real thing. And it's deeply illegal. And I'm just going to, you know, again, we have a TikToker I really enjoy. His name is Kelton Allen. And he posted this thing on TikTok that was like, you guys are fucking crazy for letting these random people play in your mouth. which usually sounds like a fun time. Yeah. Hashtag like, man or bear in the woods.
Yeah, normally that's not something I would judge.
Like, yeah, it's like, no judgment.
But this,
like,
I'm concerned.
I'm definitely sex positive, so.
Yeah. But basically, Kelton Allen had this video saying, you guys are fucking crazy. What the hell's wrong with you? And that video got a million views and got a lot of hate saying that, pro veneer tech hate. And he posted this video that we're going to watch really quickly.
Is there a pro veneer like association? Like, I feel like
I think we need one ASAP.
I'm flabbergasted. Someone just called me an idiot and said I didn't know what I was talking about, and I was hating because I ain't have no motion when I said that veneer techs were illegal. Turns out this person lived in the great state of Florida. Just so happened I have a copy of the Florida statutes handy, so I went and took a look. If you go over to chapter 466, which is the Florida statutes, which is the chapter that pertains to dentistry, dental hygiene, and dental laboratories. The definitions of dentistry is prescribed there. If you mosey on down to subsection B, you will see supplying artificial substitutes for the natural teeth or furnishing, supplying, constructing, reproducing, or repairing any prosthetic denture, bridge, appliance, or any other structure designed to be worn in the human mouth, except on the written work order of a duly licensed dentist, is described as dentistry. Well, you may be wondering, how are they going to go to jail? Well, if you mosey on over to the penalty section of this same statute, 466.026, it prohibits all of the following acts. Each of the following acts constituted as a felony of the third degree. So this is the third degree felony, mind you. Practicing dentistry or dental hygiene unless the person has an appropriate active license issued by the department pursuant to this chapter. Y'all are going to jail. I just laid it out. It's a third degree felony.
I love him.
Idiots.
Oh, oh wow, I love the way he presented all. I love being like mosey on down to this, also being like, I have a copy of the Florida statutes handy.
I need him to run for office.
I know. And like, I how like, do we get
how do we
him?
How do I recruit this person to run for office?
I know.
That's what I want to know.
He's a bright guy. You know, there's so many things about veneer techs on. It's just crazy.
Oh my God.
I just gotta say that for this week, veneer techs. And everybody, stay out. Go fucking touch grass.
Yeah, go touch grass.
Go get an education. Do it. This is really commendable why you're doing it. But go touch grass and stay away from teeth.
Yeah.
And stay away from Timu.
Yeah, no. Please. We can't.
Hello.
We can't be doing that. No. I get the affordability of dental care. Totally. Exactly. I understand. But you cannot be letting random people with, like Millie said, a Canva license shave your teeth into little shark teeth.
For that, go the old-fashioned way. Go to a different country.
Yes.
Right?
If you're going to pay $5,000.
Yeah.
Go to get the flight, get you a nice vacation.
Yep.
And get some new teeth somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like that, do it the old fashioned way.
There are dentists
in the world.
Everybody's done that.
I know multiple people 100%. Who have gone to South America to get their 100%. Veneers.
Yeah. Colombia, everywhere.
Exactly.
By real dentists though.
Yeah, that's by like, real dentists. It's like real who dentists. Are licensed there.
Yeah.
It's just cheaper.
Yeah.
100%.
You go to Turkey for hair plugs.
You go to Turkey for hair plugs. Yep. You go to, you know, Colombia. I have friends and family who've gone to Colombia, butt done, titties done, teeth done.
Mexico for teeth.
Mexico.
Lots of good dentists.
Yeah. So. Yeah, go to the old-fashioned. Yeah,
not Instagram. Not TikTok shop teeth.
No, not Timu. Just stay away from anybody who buys their stuff on Timu.
Can you guess real quick what city is this mostly taking place in?
Oh.
And not Florida.
And it's not in Florida.
The city with a lot of shenanigans.
A city with a lot of shenanigans. Vegas?
No.
New Orleans?
Atlanta, guys. Come on.
Atlanta.
Atlanta, this is
my former home.
Atlanta.
Oh Lord,
you gotta go back down there and put a stop to it.
I don't know. I tried. I tried to do a lot of organizing in Georgia.
There's a lot going on in Georgia.
There is.
Yeah.
Well.
Wow. What an episode.
What an episode, Nalini. Where can people find you?
Yeah.
And all your 15 different.
All of the different.
Find you, your work, everything.
You can, Real Housewives of Politics is on Instagram. Working Families Party is on Instagram. It's at Working Families, at R-H-O-P-O-L. And you can find me on mostly Instagram these days because the Bird app is, you know.
It's tough.
Too chaotic, it's and tough, I don't know.
The jokes hit on the Bird app still.
The jokes do hit. They still
people are still being funny on
Black
the Bird
Twitter
app.
Still has its moments, which I still am thank God. Like, you know, like when the DEI thing happened, that was like a big moment for Black Twitter again. I was like, we're here. We're still here.
Black Twitter was veneer text too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I thought you were going a different way with this.
Where would you think I was going?
Well, there's this whole thing that they're actually not requiring in Georgia. Like the Bonner brothers were on this, all this folks, that they're actually saying you don't need a license at all to do beauty or.
Well, that is a sensitive thing about braiding specifically, but that's a whole.
But no, other they were saying it put for everything.
Yeah, but like exactly.
But yeah, I know, I understand, but
the
and
origin
stuff,
of that is braiding, yes. But yes, to put a pin in that discourse about black hair care.
Yeah.
That's a whole
that's
episode
a whole
of itself.
Episode.
You can follow us. I'm like, Nalini, please.
I know.
We have to get out of here.
I know.
No, you can follow us at Go Touch Grass Pod on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter.
Mm-hmm. And it's Twitter when we use it.
And it's Twitter when we use it. Yes. Because we're having fun. We're reposting. We're doing everything fun. And you can follow me at Millie_Tamaris. On Instagram and TikTok, and at Millie Tamaris on Twitter.
You can follow me at Elise Navidad on TikTok for as long as we have TikTok, at least the next 9 months to a year. I think it's being challenged in court. I think TikTok's sticking around. And at Pandalee's on Instagram, but also if you work at Meta and can help me change my username, I am trying desperately to do so, and they do not have customer service support. So, yeah, if you can help me change my username, I will... I don't know what I'll do.
And we'll be at HeadGum Live.
And we're going to be at HeadGum Happy Hour.
May 7th.
At the Bell House. And
Nalini is going to be there. No. We're going to be there. It's going to be really fun.
Yeah. Exploration Live is going to be there. Jake and Amir are going to be there. It's really going to be a very fun time.
Stacked.
And until next time,
go touch grass.
That was a HeadGum podcast.